And now the game where we ask experts on one topic about another topic entirely just to throw them off. But not this week, at least not at first. Everybody's talking about the new Supreme Court justice. We thought we'd check in with somebody who knows something about it. Dahlia Lithwick, she writes about the Supreme Court for Newsweek and for Slate. She was a contributor to NPR's Day to Day. She is either the funniest legal writer or the most lawyerly comedy writer in America. And we're happy to have her with us. Dahlia Lithwick, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. So, a lot of questions. Why is David Souter leaving the court? It's this cushy job. You work like 8 months a year. You got clerks doing all your work. Why would anybody give this up? What's the deep, dark secret?
Well, the deep, dark secret is that even in the realm of incredibly strange, antisocial, solitary Supreme Court people, David Souter was in a class of his own, weird, solitary,
really?
Strange, antisocial. Yeah, he was notorious for writing with a fountain pen on a pad. He got a TV from Warren Rudman that he never bothered to plug in.
Whoa.
Lunch every day is an apple, core, seeds and all. My favorite moment at oral argument was the Anna Nicole Smith case a couple years ago, all the other justices were craning to see where she was, and he was trying to figure out who she was.
There you go. So he's weird, but why did he leave? Did he just...
Well, he's been saying for years that he has the best job in the world in the worst city in the world.
He doesn't like Washington.
Did not like D.C.
What's wrong with D.C.? Just nice weather, horrible backstabbing, slimy people? I mean...
He loves New Hampshire, and he couldn't wait to get back. So
but this didn't occur to him before he took the job?
He put in his 19 years, and then he said, probably had a little to do with Obama being the president, but he just hightailed it out of there as soon as he could.
Right. This is interesting. I found this out that there was really no qualifications for, there's no required qualifications for Supreme Court justice. Obama could name anybody he wanted.
That's right. You don't even have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be, you certainly don't have to be a judge.
Wow.
So I do have a shot.
Right.
Well, we've heard, people talking about Sonia Sotomayor and other people who we might name. Is there anybody out there that people are talking about that are really out there? For example, I saw Al Gore was being talked about somewhere.
Right. Well, part of the problem is Obama announced last week he wanted somebody with that magical quality of empathy.
Empathy.
Oprah's popping up on
the list. Oh! Oh! Oh!
Wait. That is a joke, right? You're joking, right?
I'm joking.
Oh darn.
Okay. Now, how frightening is it that we had to check?
No, wait a minute. It would be great if Oprah became a Supreme Court justice. We would all get cars. What? Why are you down on this? Who else are you hearing about, Dahlia?
In the equally whacked category, I got an email from someone suggesting that Bill Clinton had the requisite empathy to serve on the court.
Right.
And then there's just a lot of women. It's pretty much a sisterhood of the traveling robes. Yeah.
Really? Wow. Dahlia, talk to me about the Supreme Court press corps, you guys who cover the court. You're sort of a high-minded bunch, right?
We are. We're just congenital nerds.
Really?
So you'll come out of an oral argument and you'll hear all the reporters in the press corps going, "Oh, my God, did you see what happened to the dormant commerce clause in there?" And you want to say, "Did anyone notice that Clarence Thomas just slept for 2 hours?"
Okay, what is the deal with Clarence Thomas? He never says a word, right?
He don't talk, yeah.
He don't talk. Why not?
Well, there's all sorts of different stories. He says he has this Georgia accent that people used to tease him about. He says...
And he didn't know that before he took the job? What is this about these Supreme Court justices just now discovering their little foibles?
It's in Washington and you have to talk. Who told me? Hey, I want to talk to you specifically about one of your colleagues, our very own Nina Totenberg. Do you get to work with her? We just imagine her as sort of the queen of the den there, the doyenne of the Supreme Court press corps.
Well, here's something you don't know about the Supreme Court press corps. They make us sit in order of importance.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
How do they determine the order of importance?
It's like a royal wedding. There's an
or
a,
Salem
there's an,
witch trial.
There's an A row. There's a B row. It goes all the way back to J. And then they, as you walk in, they give you a little card that says, "Oh, hello, Ms. Totenberg, you're A1. And hello, Pete Williams, you're A2. And hello, Dahlia Lithwick, you're J 11, and, you know, it's very hierarchical.
Do they change it from day to day, depending on what they thought of your last story?
When I write horrible things about the justices, I find myself not just behind a column, but behind a curtain behind
really?
A column.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
has anyone ever, I mean, has anyone tried to take away Nina's primo seat?
I don't think so.
Would you dare? I mean, really? I have to know, does she rehearse those, like, both sides things she does? Plaintiff. Defendant. You know how she's always reading?
Reenacting.
Does
she reenacts the
reenacts argument. The transcripts. Does she practice that?
You know, I don't know if she practices, but I got to say, she gets the inflection spot on, and those don't show up in the transcript,
yeah.
So she has some kind of crazy photographic ear memory.
I do think that her renditions of Clarence Thomas's baffling silences are stunning.
I hope that the next confirmation hearings should have questions that apply to these little persnickety things. Like, do you eat the apple and the core? Yeah, and they should say stuff to the potential nominee like, you know, you have a funny accent. Does that bother you? Because it's killing me. What's the longest you have ever been out of your state?
Who's the wacky one in the group? Who's like the nut justice?
That would be the one that you had on this show, which is Stephen Breyer.
Yeah, Justice Breyer, our old pal.
He's just kind of this... for one thing, I don't know if you've ever seen him. He looks exactly like Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons.
Yeah, sure.
And it's eerie, and then he does this thing with his hands. It's kind of this excellent thing.
Excellent.
So right off, you're in a world of two-dimensional cartoon characters, and it just keeps going from there.
That's great.
You know he listens.
Yes, okay, I will. Right. I will be sitting in the X section.
Yes, exactly. You'll be sitting somewhere behind the Washington Monument. Well, Dahlia Lithwick, we're glad to have you with us, and we have, in fact, asked you here to play a game we're calling
You Are the Greatest Actor Ever.
That's right. You're William Shatner. Oh. There is this new Star Trek movie. We're skeptical about how good it could be because there is no William Shatner in it. Captain Kirk is played by somebody else. And just to prove our point about Shatner's eternal essential greatness, we're going to ask you three questions about the original, in our view, only true captain of the Starship Enterprise. You got two questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl, doing a spoken word version of Rocket Man on the listener's home answering machine.
And I'm going to be high as a kite by then.
Carl, who is Dahlia Lithwick playing for?
Peter, she is playing for Joshua Firth of Stamford, Connecticut.
All right, ready to go?
Bring it.
Here's your first question. Pre-Star Trek, Shatner had a varied career as an actor, including what distinctive achievement? A, playing all the roles in a one-man stage version of the musical Showboat. B, starring in the only motion picture to be filmed using the made-up language Esperanto. Or C, drawing the first ever FCC obscenity fine when he said damn on a live TV broadcast.
I'm gonna go with C, the FCC.
FCC obscenity fine?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him. But in fact, what he did was star in the 1965 horror movie Incubus, which is entirely in the made-up universal language Esperanto.
No.
True fact.
Oh.
All right, next question, Dolly. Still got two chances. The period after the original Star Trek was canceled, and before the next movie was greenlit in the late 70s, was a tough one for Shatner. His career as a B-list celeb had some lowlights, including which of these? A, being banned more or less from the game show The $20,000 Pyramid after he got angry and threw a chair on the set. B, appearing as Captain Perk at personal appearances after Paramount told him he couldn't use the real character's name. Or C, launching a failed drink powder like Tang called Shatner's Space Shot.
Well... These C's are calling to me. I think he launched a failed drink.
You think he launched a failed drink?
I do.
Shatner's Space Shot.
Yes.
No.
It was
he was on a $20,000 pyramid. And you know, in that game, you're supposed to give hints to the contestant so that they can guess a word. You're not supposed to use the word. He used the word. Buzzer went off. She was disqualified. He goes berserk. I mean, really scary. He's throwing chairs. The contestant runs for her life. It was something. You still have one more chance here. Just get one right. For all his ubiquity, and he's been everywhere now, William Shatner plays a role in pop culture that most people don't know about. What is it? A, in the movie Halloween, the murderer wears a Captain Kirk mask throughout the film. B, rapper Eminem said Shatner inspired him to pursue a career in music because he also can't sing. Or C, according to Kiefer Sutherland, every episode of 24 features one sometimes very subtle Shatner reference.
Ooh. Well, this is just creepy. Are you ready?
Yes.
William Shatner, Canadian.
Yes.
Dia Lithwick, Canadian.
Yes.
Kiefer Sutherland, Canadian.
Ooh.
Yes.
So you I gotta go with C.
So you're searching for a Canadian cabal is what you're saying.
I gotta go with C. It's like karma.
It is.
And it's wrong.
It is. Oh. I'm so sorry. In fact, it's A, again, in the movie Halloween, the murderer, Michael Myers, is wearing a Captain Kirk mask, painted white with the eye holes widened slightly, but it's Bill Shatner's face the whole time.
I did not know that.
It's a true fact.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So, Carl, how did Dahlia Lithwick do on our quiz?
She didn't do, Peter. No correct answers, so no win for Joshua Firth.
Oh.
Verdict guilty.
Ooh. Sorry, Joshua.
Appeal rejected.
You can't appeal this one.
Dahlia Lithwick is a contributing editor at Newsweek, a senior editor at Slate.com. She covers the Supreme Court and other legal matters. Dahlia Lithwick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies.